Today we'll be in Ephesians chapter 1. I thought that we would finish the chapter, but we'll do two verses. In these two verses, there was enough alone for the whole Sunday school lesson. So Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be in verses 19 and 20. And the name of the message is God's Great Power. God's Great Power. God's great power. We'll be in verses 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So as I was saying, I was hoping that we would finish the chapter this week, but in verse 19 alone, there's so much, and also in verse 20. And as I was reading this and studying this, and this whole chapter is so packed with doctrine. It's incredible. You know, we see the election of God. We see that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. We see redemption through the blood. We see justification of the believer. We see through the blood of Christ. We see that we have peace with God. We see that we're adopted by God through Christ. And now we see here God's mighty power. God's mighty power. And we see the resurrection in verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, in the heavenly places. So last week we looked at verses 15 and 18, and we saw that Paul had heard of the faith that the Ephesian believers had in Christ, and also, though, of their love. And we saw how faith and love are interconnected. You don't have one without the other. Those who have faith in Christ will love the brethren. They're interconnected. And we also looked at Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And we looked at what he prayed for them, that they would grow in the revelation and in the knowledge of Christ by the Holy Spirit teaching them. He must teach us. The Holy Spirit must teach us, or we'll never learn. We'll never know about Christ. He must reveal Himself to us. And Paul continued to pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, and that they would know the hope of their calling, which is, again, in Christ. And this is something that Paul emphasizes through all his epistles. Christ, Christ, Christ. Everything is in and through Him. Everything. He is the Supreme One. He is the preeminent One. He is everything. For the believer. Everything. Think of that. Without Christ, we have no salvation. We have no redemption, no justification. We're lost without Christ. Look at verse 19 here. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power?" And look at, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward?" Now, three different Greek words are used for power here. The first one is found in the phrase, "and what is the exceeding greatness of His power?" And this is the word dunamis, which is strength, power, and ability in the Greek. Strength, power, and ability. Now I want us to note this. Strength, power, and ability. What don't we have to come to God? Strength, power, and ability. We're going to see these Greek words show that God has the power. We don't. But He has all the power. We have no ability to come to Christ on our own. So what does God do? He makes us willing, doesn't He? By His power. By His power. By His mighty, the mighty greatness of His power. And notice it says, to usward, that's God's elect. That's not everyone. That's God's people. That's the Ephesians. Paul's writing to the Ephesians. To usward. So God makes those willing who are unwilling. Those who have no ability, those who have no strength, and those who have no power. And He makes us willing. Hence, salvation is of the Lord, right? It's all His doing. Now, this Greek word used at the first part of this verse is the same Greek word that's used in Romans 1:16. Turn there if you would. I know we've read it many times. But for the study, we'll read it now. the same Greek word that's used in what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word is the same Greek word that is used in Romans 1:16 for power. It's the dynamite of God. It's the dynamite of God. It's all by his power. Look at Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the us word. Right? In our text, to the us word. To all those who believe. You must believe. Yeah. If we don't believe, we're not saved. Right? Even though the faith is given to us, but still we believe, don't we? We believe. We look to Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What? Unto salvation. We can't save ourselves. But he can save his people from their sins, and he has. To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So back to our text in verse 19. God exercises his mighty power and he grants us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the believer flees to him. Now religion hates this because they want to have something to do with it. But we who love grace realize that salvation is all of God's doing. That we would never be saved if he didn't exercise his mighty power. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We want to give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Now, the same power that God uses to save a sinner is the same power that Christ was raised from the dead by. The same power. This mighty sovereign power entered into the rock-hewn tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and snatched out the body of him whom God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The same power. This mighty power has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And this same power is exercised in the salvation of God's people that we saw in Romans 1:16. It is the power of God, what? Unto salvation. Unto salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. And then again, to everyone that believeth. Folks that say, well, you can go to heaven just because you're a good person. No, if you don't believe in Christ, you're not going to be with the Lord. And this gives us great comfort when as we know Sister Betty's going to be going home with the Lord. She believes in Christ. Her faith, her rest, the object of her hope is Christ. She will see our King. Oh, what a mighty time for her it will be. It's incredible. It's incredible. And this power is the power for the whole salvation of God's people. For all of them. For all of them. This is the saving power of God. And beloved, those he saves, he keeps, doesn't he? He keeps. How? By his power. By his power. Oh, this is the power which is the alpha of our salvation. The beginning. And this is the power that's the omega of our salvation. The end. It's God's power. Oh, it's God's power. And we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. What? With power. With power. And this power, again, is the finisher, the author and the finisher. Now, how is this power manifest? By the conversion of sinners. Sinners who would never come to Christ on their own. It's manifested. They're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. You must be born again. How? By his power. By his regenerating power. And think of this. This wonderful work of God, which is wrought out by the power of the Holy Spirit, is called what? A new creation. Regeneration. Regeneration. A resurrection from the dead. Brother, you've been raised from the dead, Brother Matt. It's incredible. We were dead spiritually, weren't we? We've been raised, those of us who believe, been raised from the dead. Oh, it's marvelous. A transformation of a man from one man into another. He's still in this body of flesh, right? Now we have a war. Now we have a battle within us. And how does this happen? By God's almighty power. By God's almighty power. Man has no ability, no power, and no desire to come to Christ. But what happens after God regenerates us, when we're born again, what happens? We have ability now to come to Christ because of what He's done, not because of anything in us. We run to Christ. We have desire. And some things are removed when this mighty power is exercised by the Holy Spirit of God upon the believer. Satan is disposed. The stony heart is taken away. The enmity is slain. The old man is put down from his throne. Christ is upon the throne of our hearts, beloved. Oh, we put off certain deeds, don't we? There's things that we loved, now we hate them. It's incredible. And it's all by God's mighty power. And there are some things that are wrought in the believer by the Holy Spirit of God. God's grace is implanted in us, right? Given to us. Given faith. We're given repentance. It's wonderful. We're given a new heart. We're given eyes of understanding. Brother John, we talked about eyes and ears unplugged. Ears to hear that we didn't have before. Eyes to see. And who do we see? Who do we look to? We don't look to ourselves anymore, do we? We look to Christ. We look only to Him. Oh, we're given ears to hear and eyes to see Christ. And principles of light and life are given in Christ, where grace is given and holiness is now desired, right? We don't want to do the things that we used to. The understanding's enlightened. All of a sudden we read the Scriptures and they're alive. When before it was just paper and ink. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Our affections are set on other objects. Things that the believer once hated, now he loves. The mind and the conscience are cleansed, purified. And this is done by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. How? By the preaching of His Word. By the hearing of the Gospel. By the ministry of His Word. And the Holy Spirit takes that, takes the feeble words of His preachers, and uses the powerful Word of God to bring life. How? By His power. It's the dynamite of God, beloved. By His mighty power. And then our text continues. According to the working of His mighty power. Now the word power here has two Greek words. Two Greek words. Kratos, which means force, strength, power, might, mighty with great power. Right? We have no power, do we? But God is mighty. I like that one. Mighty with great power. Mighty with great, sovereign, king. And then the other word is a mighty deed, a work of power, dominion. This speaks of His absolute sovereignty, doesn't it? Absolute. He has all power. We have none. Oh, none. It's incredible. Force, strength, mighty with great power, dominion. And we can say, praise God, that salvation is all of the Lord. All of Him. All the work of God's almighty power. Then the next Greek word used for the same word power is iskos, which means ability, force, strength, and might. Do you see how it's the opposite of what we can do? We don't have any ability. We don't have any strength to come to God on our own. We don't have any might to come to God on our own. But God's power is exercised in the believer's life. We are lacking in all these things, and He gives us the ability to flee to Christ. And it's all by His almighty power. He is able to save what? Sinners who cannot save themselves. Remember last week? We're not able. And He's able. He's able. God is able. Able. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And what's the result of this for we who believe? Our heart is filled with praise. All we want to do is praise His name. We just want to hear about Him. Hear about the One who's done it all for us. And again, we don't want any glory for ourselves. We want to give it all to Him. Colossians chapter 2. Look at this. And this is God's mighty power exercised in the believer's life. And you being dead, remember Brother Mattis said, you're raised from the dead, right? And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, there's the state of every human being who comes into this world. Now, as we know that, and if anybody ever says, well, all you guys do is ever go to Ephesians 2, go to Colossians chapter 2 as well. The same precious truth is repeated, that we have no ability, we're dead in sins. In the uncircumcision of your flesh, look at, hath he quickened together, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. With him, look at this, beloved. Oh, heaven forgiven you. Oh, let's just rest here, right? Heaven forgiven you all trespasses. All of them. All of them. And look at this. Blotting out. In the Greek, that's like whitewashing. When you whitewash something, it's gone. Blotting out. What? The handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And there was a lot, wasn't there? Which was contrary to us and took it out of his way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly over them in it. What great power. What great power, beloved. God incarnate in the flesh comes and dies upon the cross in the room of sinners. And all their sins are forgiven. What great power. And this is in his weakness as he's dying upon the cross and he's plucking one of his sheep, isn't he? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What power! And they sat there, well, we would have done the same thing. And they said, oh, he saved others. He cannot save himself. And meanwhile, he's on the cross dying, redeeming all the elect of all the ages. What power! What power, beloved! Oh, and the Holy Spirit regenerates us with power. With power. Let's look at verse 20 now. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. The power of God that quickened us and raised us from our spiritually dead state, which we looked at in Colossians. Hath he quickened together with him? Born again by the Holy Spirit, the same power which made us alive in Christ is here compared with the power which raised Christ from the dead. What power our King has. God's almighty power, beloved. And remember, we all fell in our federal head, didn't we? We all fell in Adam. Every single one of us. We were in him when he fell. Beloved, when Christ redeemed his people on the cross, we were in him. When he was raised from the dead, we were in him. When he lived that perfect life, we were in him. Restored. What power, beloved. What power our mighty King has. And the Scripture says that Christ was raised for our justification, wasn't he? He was our representative. Oh, we fell in Adam, but in the second Adam, all who believe are made alive in our head. Right? He's the head and what? We're the body. Well, Adam was our federal head. See how we fell in him? But we're made alive in Christ, we who believe. Oh, what marvelous, marvelous salvation. And we live because he lives. We live because we're in him. We're free from sin because our surety, what? Bore our sins. That's good news for sinners, isn't it? Oh my. He paid the penalty for our sins. He was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, dying in the room of sinners. And now he's raised from the grave, victorious, right? And we've looked at this many times to show that God is satisfied. God's satisfied with his sacrifice. And there is a likeness between his resurrection and our quickening. His resurrection is called a begetting. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter 1:3. He's the first begotten from the dead And our regeneration is termed what? A begetting. Look at 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now his body was lifeless, eh? Such as natural man who has no spiritual life. His body could not raise itself, and we cannot give ourselves life. But oh, his resurrection was the pure, unaided work of God. Right? So is our regeneration. God doesn't need nobody's help. We sure need his, don't we? Oh, we sure need him. We have no ability. Oh, we need Christ. And his resurrection led to his exaltation at the right hand of God. And beloved, where he is, we will be. Where he is, we will be. He is our representative, and we are regenerated and already seated in him in the heavenlies. It's incredible. What a salvation. What a salvation. Our verse continues. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now notice, we can look in the Old Testament, and the priest in the Old Testament never sat, did he? He was always about the work. Always, because the work was never finished. But our King sat. It's done. It's finished. It's perfect. There's nothing to be added to it. It's done. And look at it. It says, set him at his own right hand. And the fact that he's seated again is that the work is complete. And then seated at his own right hand. Now the scriptures represent Christ at God's right hand in heavenly places. The right hand is a position in heaven, is a place of authority. It's a place of authority. Our King has all power. He has all power. What a great King. What a Savior. One commentator put it this way. Then his Father exalted him even more by bringing him back to glory, which he had enjoyed before he came to earth. But he re-entered it as a man. He continued to be what he always was, right? God. He's the God-man, right? So he continued to be what he always was. Christ was always God. Now he enters into heaven. He goes on, but he had become what he was not before, man. And it was bearing that human name Jesus that he returned to the glory which he had with his Father before the world began. And he's our great intercessor right now, isn't he? The God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he has all power. All power. Think of this too. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? The right hand of all power and all majesty. And the right hand is often spoken of as power. It has all the authority and all the power. Think of this. Before the throne of God, there is, we don't know, countless angels worshiping our great God. Worshiping Him. Bowing down before Him. An innumerable amount of angels But he didn't take his place amongst them, did he? No. And there are princes and principalities and thrones and dominions, but he does not sit amongst them, does he? No, the great God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen King of his people. Oh, what a King. The risen King of his people, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, takes his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. Sits upon the throne with majesty. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. And we will close with this. He is the name which is above every name, beloved. And he is our King. He is the one who the believer has salvation in. Philippians chapter 2. One day all will confess who he is. And remember, we're focusing on the power of God. Christ has all power. Right now. Some folks in religion believe he's waiting to reign. No, beloved. Our scripture says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Right now. Right now. He's King. He was born King. He was King when he was on earth. And he's King right now. He's never ceased to be King. Never. Look at this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, right? Sitting down at the right hand of the Father. And given him a name which is above every name. We know from Scripture that there's salvation in no other name, is there? No other name but Christ. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What power! And the same power that was exercised to raise Christ from the dead is the same power that raises sinners from the dead. And it's all the work of God. He's able, beloved. He's able. And this, let us look for comfort in this. The fact that the one who's done all this is the one who watches over each one of his sheep, no matter what we go through. The one who's with Sister Betty right now. Oh, my. What a great King. This is the Ephesian Savior. This is the King. This is the one who has all power. And this is the Savior of all who believe on Him. Of all who believe on Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great sinner's substitute. What a King. Why would we trust in our own works when we have no ability, when we have no way to save ourselves? Oh, look to the King, eh? Look to the King. May God be glorified.